Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday, in our study of 1 Samuel chapter 4, we were taught that as a Christian, one of the most important commitments that we should make is to have our word to always be our bond. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Now, my friend, that is, as a Christian, a commitment each of us need to have, that our word would be our bond before God and man, that our word, especially our word to God, is our bond, that no matter what the circumstances, we stick by it. Today, people break marital vows. Yet next to your salvation, that is the most sacred word that you give on earth. As a matter of fact, the Bible likens our relationship to Jesus Christ as marriage. He likens it to the vows of marriage. And my friend, to break the marriage vow is to go as low as anyone goes in this life in the areas of vileness and sin and immorality. So if you break that vow, and they would break that vow, why would you trust them in anything else? If they would break that vow, how can you trust them? If they break a vow, and they never come to the altar. They never come in repentance. They never get it right with God in His house. They didn't mind getting married in His house. Well, they need to get things right in His house, too. You see, men or women should have a desire to have the character that instead of throwing mud, they'll take it and trust God to sustain them, keeping on in the work of God. Listen, Penny Haas was no good. But boy, he married a godly woman, a woman of godly character. She's the good. But then we see the bad in this chapter, Eli. Eli, we're told in these first few chapters about his wicked sons. He restrained them not. He was in the position as both high priest and as a father to do so, and he did not. You'll notice in chapter 3, verse 21, and the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Oh, yes. Shiloh knew it. They heard it. They heard it from Samuel. But they did not want to heed the man of God's message. Like those who gripe about the preacher who preaches against sin and calls them to repentance and their Christian lives and rebukes the new so-called liberty, which is really just the old worldliness. And they say, write books, say, well, laugh again. They talk about liberty, and they call those that have standards as legalist. Do you realize that the New Testament then is legalistic because it has over 600 imperative commands in it? So obeying it makes you a legalist. One of these guys, and listen, I believe that they do this because they may not really be saved. They have a lot of knowledge, but somehow or another, they don't have a connection to the Holy Spirit that they can discern. Now, I remember one of them saying, well, look, it's all right to social drink. The Bible speaks against drunkenness, not social drinking. Unless the Bible mentions it, it's not wrong. Okay, so it's not wrong to just take LSD, cocaine. It's not wrong because the Bible doesn't really mention that. Can you imagine a person saying, well, you know, I'm not a drunkard, I'm a social drinker, I don't get drunk. Oh, well, then he's all right. But then the same person says, you know, I'm not a murderer, I'm a social murderer. I just kill when a person needs it. Well, we wouldn't accept that. Well, why do we accept one and we don't accept the other? You see, our arguments break down so quickly when we decide that we're going to try to fulfill the lust of the flesh. It just doesn't work that way. Well, the Bible illustrates that God has men to take the mantle when one of his warriors die, if there are men that are willing to be a man of God, the man God wants him to be. Well, Samuel was willing to be that man, but boy, this Eli, he had failed in the way that he had carried the mantle of God. Samuel shows us three qualifications. Humility. We find that he submitted himself under the hand of Eli. But then we also see absolute trust in the living God. And thirdly, we see Samuel does what is right as led by God, regardless of what it might cost. For example, Samuel didn't want King Saul removed. Others would not want the younger, smaller David put in. But God told Samuel what to do. And so at the risk of Saul slaying him if he finds out, he goes to Bethlehem and he anoints David. And although God's leading, I'm sure Samuel is criticized for his decision. Even Samuel interceded to God for Saul, and God finally told Samuel, quit praying for him. I'm not going to do it. And Samuel quit praying for him. Now, if family, church members, or your friends make you fear to follow God's leading, then you're not the man or woman to step in. We are not to follow God's will and make decisions based on the consensus of the majority. Whether it's a pastor, whether it's the father of a home, what have you. We don't make our decisions based on the consensus of the majority. What must always be made upon the Word of God, the will of God, as has been ascertained from the Word of God. I've heard of men taking churches, and they said, well, the church votes to make me the pastor. I've got to have a 100% vote, or I've got to have a 90% vote, or whatever. Somebody asked me, said, when I come to the church, I'm presently pastor, said, what would you require? I says, well, really, it doesn't matter to me. I says, the bare minimum's fine. I says, I know God wants me here, so this is where I'm going to be. And if they vote against it, then they've got to deal with God about that, not me. And I really felt that way. Still do. I don't have to have a number. I've just got to know this is where God wants me. If I'm where God wants me, that's all I got to know. And yeah, I get told people didn't like my sermon. People didn't like my stand. People didn't like this. But my friend, people are fickle. God never changes. So you go with God and you go with what he has. Now, it's interesting, as you look back over the years, Elijah had Elisha, David had Solomon, Moses had Joshua. But in each case, the men, although they made some mistakes, were able to stand in the power of God. Now, maybe we learned something about pastors. You need to train the person that may take your place, okay? And it's always good to be training others, even if they're not going to be the pastor of your church or take the leadership in the positions that you thought they might. They may be taken somewhere else. Fathers, train your children to be men of God, men of conviction, men of valor. Teach them that. Don't let the streets try to teach them their way, because it'll always be wrong. If Eli had done his duty and put them as polluted out of the priesthood, they might have lived, although in disgrace. But Eli fears man more than God, so God took matters into his own hands. The Philistines were heathens. The Jews had the better cause. They stood up in necessary defense of their just rights and liberties, because they were attacked. This was a defensive war for them. God causes them to lose, allows them to lose. You see, good causes go down. Ministries suffer, often because bad men undertake the cause of good and lead them away from righteousness. If loyalty to your family or your friends takes you from duty to God, you'll end up hurting your family worse in the long run, as Scripture shows us with David, Adonijah, Eli, and his sons, and Isaac with Esau. I've seen men, I remember one man that talked of a great Bible college, and this is back in the 60s. He's talking about a great Bible college that he was at in the 1930s, and it was a good, strong Bible college. By the 1960s and 70s, it had pretty well gone another direction. But all he remembered was the 1930s. My friend, you may find that there was a college, a Christian college, that was one time strong, had standards and everything, but it's gone away, and you went there. You might even graduate from there, but if it goes away, you don't go away with it because it was your alma mater, because remember, your loyalty is to God and His Word. Now understand that the good had present trials. That is, Phinehas' wife. But now she's having everlasting rejoicing. The bad had some present prosperity, but now is saved so as by fire. But both of those made their own choices. Again, don't allow loyalty to family or friends take you from your duty to God and righteousness. So if your church, it goes away from this good old King James Bible, it starts using the rock and roll music, it starts psychology, philosophy, it lets down the standards, don't be loyal to that. Don't be loyal to that. You're not helping the church, you're not helping God, you're not helping anything but the cause of Satan.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org. With no grace. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.